hit the record button. Welcome to Some Some, where a millennial and a Gen Z scroll so you don't have to. I am Freddy.
And I am Leah. We are two people who actually work in social media. And in these short weekly episodes, we break down the latest trends so you can stay in the loop without living online 24/7.
It's for anyone who works with social media, for marketeers who need to stay up to date, for brands who want to know what's trending, and for you if you don't have the time to scroll all day. So, Leah, what are we talking about today?
So, the three trends of the day are, unfortunately, I do love dot dot dot. In a room full of people, I look for dot dot dot. And when did you get hot? Question mark.
I'm excited for the third one. I don't know if we need to do an explicit warning or something on this, our third episode out there. And by the way, before we start, I want to have a quick shout out to all our listeners. You are our new family. We love you more than life itself. We would do anything for you. If you would just hit on follow, tell all your crazy, cool marketeer friends about this podcast. And of course, if you check out our socials, somsom.podcast.
Yes, very...
It's Instagram, yeah.
Very cheesy of you, Freddie. But yeah, we appreciate our listeners.
I mean, it's late summer. There's still some sunshine. I'm in a happy mood.
Good feelings, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's not keep our listeners waiting and just get straight to the point. And actually, I think today's trends are summarized a bit quicker than usually, because I think they're pretty straight to the point. And so will I get straight to the point. So our first trend of the week is the unfortunately, I do love .. TikTok trend, but you can also find it on Instagram now, as always. Usually I feel like trends are emerging from TikTok and later on moving to Instagram. Well, it's about admitting a guilty pleasure or quirks with a mix of humor and honesty. Set to the song of Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh, I think that's his name.
Joe Walsh, heard his name before.
Exactly, yeah, I did too. I just don't know how to say it. The format usually shows an aesthetic clip or a static image with text overlay that reads, unfortunately, I do love... ... followed by a list of maybe 10 things that could be seen as embarrassing, basic, or judged. For example, unfortunately, I do love... a sweet treat before bed, being the center of attention, overpriced coffees, online shopping, or always being late. I would say the appeal of this trend comes from the honesty and relatability, as well as the simplicity, because literally anyone can join and participate in this trend.
Absolutely. I think guilt, I mean, it's like laying out your guilty pleasures in a list and being aware. Yeah, unfortunately, I do love them. And yes. You're absolutely right. I think the core to this is honesty. And I think guilty pleasures, they are such a great tool to get relatable with your marketing, with what you're talking about. Because, I worked for clients, you work for clients, in a social media game, and there's always this fear of saying the wrong thing, kind of, right? So you rather wash it more down, and companies are not this eager to get a little riskier. And but let me tell you from my years of experience, the moment you get a little riskier, you get better. So I think... just to test out your audience, to test out your boss, to test out whoever needs to approve your content that you are creating. Unfortunately, I do love feels like a very great trend to test out these boundaries within your can exist. You would be surprised what you can get away with. And once you've gotten away with it, you have a case to make when you propose a riskier thing again. But you can say, see, this worked in this harmless, nicely, unfortunately, I do love admitting guilty pleasures kind of way.
Yeah, for sure. I also feel like that this is, it's still a very harmless trend, I would say. And guilty pleasures are not necessarily like extremely risky, right? But you can, of course, again, get a bit creative with it. And also, I don't know, like maybe you can make it into a slideshow instead of just a list like with text on screen. And there could be so many things that could flow into this trend. But the important part, I definitely think it should be relatable. So it should be something that we all agree maybe it's not the best, but you know, we just all love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, you can like lay out your weaknesses, even as a company. Yeah. I have so many examples right up in my head what certain companies can do, like McDonald's. Unfortunately, we do love our ice machine being broken. Or like the German public transportation, like the Deutsche Bahn, which has like this habit of never being on time. Unfortunately, I do love being a little late. You know, it's...
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Definitely. I think, yeah, easy to adapt. Just get your copywriter to write you some good copy.
And have her or him like really get creative and try get a little more riskier than you would usually do. So yeah, this is a trend I do love. Not unfortunately, I do love this one. It's really great, I think.
Yep. Well, and speaking of great copy, our next trend as well is also heavily focused on good copy. And that trend is centered around the song called 12 to 12. Excuse me, by Somber, which includes the lyric "In a room full of people, I look for you." Like it's sang like this somehow. And creators are using just any video of themselves and are overlaying it with text like "In a room full of people." Maybe I don't think they are actually lip syncing it. So it can be like an old stock footage. That's also why this trend, I think, again, is very easy to adapt. And they just write on screen, "In a room full of people I look for." And then instead of writing "you," they swap this word for other things. As for example, "my best friend" or "the door." Exactly. So again, like the previous trend, this is just a very simple trend, I would say. It has to be easy, relatable, or funny. And good copy can just help make this a cool little content of your week.
And is the, what would you say where the appeal comes from? Is it also that you play into the relatability, or is it more like to surprise people? Is it like to introduce yourself, like make up your personality?
Well, I think it's a mix of all of them. I think it really depends. So if you're using "In a room full of people, I look for my best friend," well, you're definitely more so on the relatable side, and it's kind of cute, right? But if you're making a video, "In a room full of people, I look for the door," you're basically saying, well, I hate social interactions. Let me just leave. And well, I mean, yeah. So I think it really could be twisted in many ways, but I think the appeal more so comes from it just being so easy. And I think we've seen this over and over again. Most trends that also come up in my research, they're very simple. It's usually just a clip of something with a text layover and maybe a trending audio. And I guess it's just also a way where creators feel like, well, I need some content. Oh, let me jump on this trend. And people think it's kind of cute, kind of fun. Just that's it. Simple.
Yeah. And also it's, I think, really the adaptability. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy this word came out right. plays a big part in those trends. And what I'm thinking about right now is, I mean, I'm not sure if we talked about this in an episode that is online or if it was in one of our test episodes before, this whole topic of brand personality. Because, you know, I always try to translate these trends into like the marketing view of things, because I just play into that a lot of our listeners are more or less marketing people, who like social media marketing people. who listen to this professionally on their work time, and then you can write down the hours where you listen to this. We will sign.
Exactly. We'll give you a hall pass.
Exactly. Absolutely. If your boss complains, he can call us. We make an interview episode out of it. Content, see? No, but what I wanted to say is this whole point of brand personality, where we said the more you get a personality as a brand, like as a creator, or the more your brand gets clear on who she or he is, the better your account tend to work. So it's not like this faceless company, which is a logo that is just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really work on thinking about, is this something our company, our brand, whoever, as a person would do? In a room full of people I look for, this can be a great tool to sharpen your brand's personality. You know, by really thinking about in a room full of people, I mean, this almost sounds like a copywriter's a workshop or whatever. In a room full of people, what would my brand, my company, whatever I'm working for, what would they do? I think this is really a great training, a great workshop, great content piece you can create, not only to you know, get some likes and get out there, but you can have in the back of your hand whenever you have to try to come up with the next piece of content. Is this something our brand would do or could do, or how would our brand react? And I'm not being like in a 100 slides corporate tone of voice, but really as imagine, I mean, maybe it's a him, maybe it's a her, maybe it's a something in between. As a person, not as a brand, how would they act on social media?
Yes, definitely. Well, but I also want to add that there, like in general, with many of these trends, maybe the challenge, or let's call it opportunity, for brands is that oftentimes brands cannot use these sounds, right?
Yeah.
Because as a brand, you're like, if everything you do is seen as advertising, advertisements. So maybe you can also just, I have seen videos where like brands maybe just get somebody to just like sing, like not even, it doesn't even have to sound good, but sing the lyrics and just make fun of it in that way. And I also feel like just because you can't use the sound doesn't mean you can't participate, because trends always in like, they develop, right? They evolve. Yeah.
People get creative and with them.
Exactly. It's just something you can be aware of. Hey, like, this is why we're here, right? We're making you aware of this trend is happening, or like, these are the things that have been going on the platform the last week. And if you're aware of it, maybe you can just take that as a jumpstart for something else and build on that, which I think usually also performs very well.
Absolutely. And if you're not sure how the jumpstart works or where to jump off from, you can always check out samsam.podcast on Instagram and follow us there.
Exactly. Don't forget to follow. And well, finally, before we keep on rambling,
let's get to the third one.
Yeah, to the question, when did you get hot? Well,
Sounds a little private.
It sounds a little private, yeah. It's not directed towards anybody, dear listeners. But it's a trend, more so a TikTok trend, I would again say, that is built around Sabrina Carpenter's playful new song of the same name. So the song is called When Did You Get Hot? Is it a surprise that a Sabrina Carpenter song is trending? No, she just released a new album. This was to be expected. Her songs have been trending for, well, ever since she's become a big pop figure.
And I mean, it's our third episode and our already our second Sabrina Carpenter song, right?
Yes, exactly. With the Oh Boy, now we're When Did You Get Hot? So her lines keep coming up in content all the time. With this trend, creators show off surprising transformations using before and after clips, old versus new photos, or reactions that match the lyrics when did you get hot all of a sudden? So it's basically a glow up trend, which definitely is nothing new on social media. Yeah, glow up trends have been also there for a long time and just in different shapes and formats. And the song is, I would say, kind of flirty, lighthearted, which makes the content feel fun and engaging, while the strong transformations grab the attention and keep the viewers watching. Like, since if you know the trend, right, and you see the first pic or the first clip, you want to know, well, how does this person look now or what happened? Oftentimes, I have to say, I think it kind of started out maybe with like, when did my boyfriend get hot? Like kind of boyfriend transformations or glow ups. But also there's like a lot of, you know, the typical classic transition videos where people do their makeup, like first they're without makeup and then they're like, whew, and they have their makeup and they're like, wow, now I'm hot. So it's also definitely, yeah, a trend that other brands could, like, if you're a makeup artist, right? That would be just the obvious thing to do.
That's as on the nose as makeup sometimes is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe you can exactly. Maybe you can also use it on your coworkers or maybe your product. I don't know. Maybe your product recently featured a massive glow up. Not in a way of like, oh, we just added this little tiny feature, but actually improved.
Actually, if you know your audience, this could actually work by adding this one small feature. Could actually be fun. I mean,
that could be the humor as well. Yeah, that could be the humor.
This could be the humor. I mean, I told you that this one account I'm working for completely flips everything, like 180. What we are talking about, as we always would say something like, "All right, show people, have it like a." Make it a brand, make it a personality and whatever. And this account is so much on the technical side that it's just people who are interested in the purest technical side of this greater company group. Let me phrase it like this. Only them are following them and it's like a huge account. And the moment we started showing people there, like the numbers dropped. And so we didn't do this. So I think if you know your audience, your community, which is always like the one thing you really should know, you can also play into this. When did you get hot? I mean, it's basically you know what your audience wants to see and you show the before and after, right?
Yeah, definitely. I also feel like, you should stay in the frame that your audience may be like knowing what your audience expects from you. But to me, it sounds like such a funny combination. Like if you have this nerdy topic and using the Sabrina Carpenter line of like, oh, when did you get hot? I think that would maybe attract some new people and still keep your, and still keep your true fans engaged because, it could be absolutely. Very funny. A funny contrast kind of.
But I really think, I mean, this is like very specific. I think that this trend is, as you put it, if you're a makeup artist or if you, I don't know, make clothing and you show your new line of autumn clothes right now, or if you have a rebranding going on, or if you have like your 10-year anniversary and you have all the pictures of your parties, your anniversary parties or whatever.
If you're a theater and you have your actors, like before and after, like it could be so many before and afters, right?
Like introducing the cast.
Introducing the cast and everything. I think it just, this trend heavily relies on it being kind of like the transformation, right? There needs to be a transformation. And people are waiting for the transformation. In some aspects, it could be funny also if it becomes like, if it's just a minor thing, as we said before. But in most videos that I've seen, I think you're always waiting for this big transformation. I have seen one video, though, where it's kind of like people were like, oof, is that backwards? Like, because maybe the after wasn't much better than the before. But again, that I think drove a lot of engagement because it was maybe not what you expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bit harsh, but
Yeah, I mean, this is always like the risk, you know, if you put something out there, you have to be ready to like have people comment. But then again, I think if people are like commenting mean stuff, you kind of like hit a nerve with them. It's not like if you are doing something that is really not okay and people are getting like worked up over it. Of course, this is to expect. Mm. But, you know, if people are getting mean, it's like, you know, maybe we are now the teachers talking to like the kids who are getting bullied in the schoolyard. You know,
they're just jealous.
Yeah, they're just jealous. They most likely have a problem with themselves. They're just, you know, internet warriors.
Yeah.
Whatever. I wouldn't get like all in all too excited about like mean comments.
No, I wouldn't. And I even like right now what pops into my head is also like you could even use this for shrinkflation or something like that. Like having a bit of, you know, self-deprecating humor is always great. Mm-hmm. So if you have a product that happened to have like, you know, the economy is not great, like if there something didn't go right or like the price, I don't know, went up for something, like I think people online would truly find it funny if you would make fun of it yourself. It would be refreshing. And I think that is also key. Like, we don't want you, like brands in general, like as a consumer of content, I don't want to have the expected marketing ad and everything is always so polished. I think I much more tend to bond with a brand and remember their content if it is refreshing, it's authentic, it's relatable, it's like all of these words, right? Yeah. So, yeah, again, I guess we're going back to be a little daring with it. And who knows? I mean, start out and maybe you see it will actually be quite beneficial for your brand.
Yeah. Go risk something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really social media. If you are like boring on social media, there's this one quote I used a lot, also when we were working together, like to convince people into approving stuff. And this goes, the heaviest shitstorm is silence.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not like this, every PR is good PR thinking. It comes, I don't know, from the 60s, 70s or 80s or whatever. But rather do something that where people like have an opinion about, even if it's a bad one. Instead of something people will just like swipe, you know, one second and go away. And if you want to force people to watch your ads, you don't get on social media, the first thing. And then you rather do, I don't know, like cinema commercials, because even if you do a TVC, people will be on social media while the TVC is running.
Yes.
So maybe I lost some clients by now.
No.
However...
No, I don't think so. Of course,
they're relevant target groups for TVCs too.
Yeah,
but this is a social media podcast.
We're basically just trying to say that the market of content is definitely saturated. And in a saturated market, you need to stand out. And if you give everybody what they would expect from you, you will not stand out. And you will maybe just be, kind of gone on our feet, and people will swipe away and not care what you have to say. And that's why we do these short weekly episodes, right? Where we give you ideas to kind of maybe stand out and like be relevant within what is going on online.
And also, I think empower you a little bit.
Yes.
If I are listening to this later in the edit, I think we are also empowering you a little
exactly. bit. Exactly. Well, we hope that this empowerment, worked, or like we wish you also a great week, because that's it for today on Sum. And if you liked it, make sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you're listening from right now.
And also follow us on Instagram at sumsum.podcast, where we will share all the examples again as reposts.
Exactly. And we'll be back every Tuesday. So see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.